about restoration, the third great sign and one of the most positive, powerful results of repentance that you'll ever find in your life is when God begins to restore that broken relationship with Him, then restore all of the devastation that sin has brought into a life. And I love to see someone who's freshly saved, because the next thing I know is going to happen after they repent of their sin, receive Jesus, and are reconciled to God, and that relationship as God is restored, I know there's coming a restorative work in that life. Amen. Hallelujah. And it reminds me that God still wants to do some restoring in me and restoring in you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just stand for the reading of your word today. We honor you. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. We pray today that we will see and sense your ongoing work in our life. And whoever happens to hear this message somewhere in time and sometime in place, Lord, that there will be those that will bow to you, open their life to you, repent of their sin and receive you as their Savior, and experience the mighty restoration that you long to give in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to read our foundational scripture because it's important to all that we're teaching about. Again, it's in Matthew 13, 14, verses 14 and 15. Chapter 13 of St. Matthew's Gospel, verse 14 and 15. It says, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias. That's the King James. It's Isaiah that we're talking about here, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Amen. Jesus said the only reason that people will not be saved is because they literally turn away from the truth that is brought to them. Because if they received it, their eyes would see, their ears would hear, their heart would perceive it, and they would turn. Amen. And when they turn from their sin and turn to God, He said, I'll heal them of sin's deadly wound. That's salvation. Can you say amen? That's what it means to be saved. And He said in the process of saving, they are going to be converted. There's going to be a mighty change. The Bible calls that regeneration. The first sign of conversion is spiritual regeneration. Jesus said you must be born again. How many know that's an imperative? Today we're kind of, it involves a decision, but it certainly is more than just a decision. We've talking about how many decisions were made for Christ. It has to be a lot more than just a mental decision. There has to be a spiritual change that is wrought by the Holy Spirit when we receive Christ as our Savior. Can you say amen? You must be born again. It means you've got to experience this regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost that the Bible speaks of. The second thing is transformation. Another sign. Amen. You've been renewed in your spirit. You've got to get transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of the Lord. Amen. And that transforming process is ongoing. We're not completely transformed. We are being changed from glory to glory. As we behold as in a glass His face, we are changed, transformed, metamorphosed, transfigured into His image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. Boy, it makes a difference when God's Spirit is at work making you more like Christ than you just deciding, I'm going to be more like Jesus. Can you say amen? Because you, in and of yourself, will not be capable of being as good as He was. You won't love like He loved. You'll find yourself loving them that love you and not loving them that don't love you. He loved His enemies and loved them from the cross in incredible pain while they... My Spirit is in you for the supernatural, not just tongues and interpretation and visions and dreams and revelations, but that you might be like my Son, that you might live like He lived and love like He loved, saith the Spirit of God. Somebody give Him praise in this room today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I can say honestly, that according to the Word of God, we still need that ongoing transforming process. As we behold as in a glass, that means mirrored back to us, His face. We are transformed into His image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. That's God working in us. That's the fruit or the product of the Holy Spirit, is reproducing His life, His character in you and in me. And that's what we need more of, particularly in circles where we have zeroed in on the power of the Holy Spirit instead of the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. He wants to show us Jesus again. It's just that simple. And He wants to show us how we compare to Him, till we begin to move forward and begin to be perfected in the faith, that we come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus. And that will never happen in your lifetime here on earth. Doesn't mean we won't progress in that direction. It means you will never come to a plateau where you say, I have arrived, I'm just like Him. That means your whole life is to be progressive instead of just bottoming out or leveling out. Amen. God isn't through with me. Have you noticed? Okay, well, since you did, I noticed He's not through with you neither. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He's not through with any of us. If we would be honest about what's going on in our life, there would be a sign hanging on us, under construction. Amen? Everybody in here is under construction. As long as you let Him work, as long as you don't get satisfied where you are, amen, you will find that there is work to be done, and God is a God who wants to work. The Bible said it's God that worketh in you. That should be something that makes us want to shout every day of our life. The fact that God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, wants to do a work in you and wants to do a continuing work in me, that means serving God is a great adventure. It's not some, you arrive somewhere and just wait on Jesus to come and go home and get your reward. No, God wants to, listen, I don't care if you've been saved 30 years. God's not done with you. You haven't arrived at some plate of super spirituality that if everyone would just look at me and listen to me. No, you have nothing to show anybody until you can show them the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus. What you need to show them is your progressiveness, that even after 30 years of following Jesus, that God isn't done with you and you're not done following Him. You're pushing on, pressing toward the mark for the prize, that you still seek Him. You still praise Him. You still love Him. You still bow broken before Him and say, Lord, change my attitudes. Change my heart. Help me to walk in more love and forgiveness. Amen? Am I telling you a truth this morning? It's hard to minister to people that feel like we've arrived at some place of where God accepts us and everybody else had better. Amen? We demand their respect because of how long we've been in the way. This is not how long you've been on the road, honey. It's how far you've traveled. Are you listening to me? If you're poking along at 5 miles an hour, you haven't gotten very far yet. Amen? But if you're running about 95 down the King's Highway, you've went a long way in a very short time. Amen? Well, I've been saved for 50 years. Well, what do you want, a medal? Can you say amen? It's not about how long you've been saved. It's how close you're following Jesus. Well, I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with the girls that do. Well, we commend you for that, amen, for all three of those things. But what I'm saying is, how are we in this department of measuring up to Jesus Christ? Because the real issue here is, do we measure up? Can you say, man, I'm going to tell you flat out, I do not measure up yet. But I know that I'm falling short and I'm still seeking and I'm still climbing. God's still working in me. Can you say amen? It's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Hallelujah. And the only way He can work in us is if we stay yielded and we stay hungry. And we stay in a state of progressiveness where we never, ever arrive. We just keep climbing because there's joy in knowing that in a service, I can be altered. I can be changed. Something in my character, God can work on through the anointing and through the Word of God. And through every life experience that touches me. My failures change me because they show me my weaknesses. Hello? And God can use them in my life. Someone said, by God, by His sovereign grace, God can bring good out of our failures and even out of our sins. J. Stuart Holden tells of an old Scottish mansion close to where he had this little summer home, his little summer home. The walls of one room were filled with sketches made by distinguished artists. The practice began after a pitcher of soda water was accidentally spilled on a freshly decorated wall and left an unsightly stain. At the time, a noted artist, Lord Landseer, was a guest in the house. One day when the family went out to the moors, he stayed behind with a few masterful strokes of a piece of charcoal. That ugly spot became the outline of a beautiful waterfall bordered by trees and wildlife. He turned that disfigured wall into one of his most successful depictions of Highland life. He took a stain and turned it into something beautiful. How many know that God can take a sin-stained life that's absolutely in ruin and turn it into something beautiful? That's what I love about the third stage of this, because it's about restoration. Everybody say it with me, restoration. There's regeneration, there's transformation, and then there's restoration. And I love this part. I love the great scripture about restoration, to me anyway, in John 10:10, that says the thief came but to steal, kill, and destroy. And we can see his activity in fallen man and fallen women all over the world. But I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Everybody said, our God is a restoring God. The Amplified said that you might have it to the full till it overflows. Praise God. Amen. Jesus restored. I'm going to go through it again. Jesus restored life to the widow's son and to Jairus' daughter and to Lazarus. Jesus restored health to the 10 lepers, to the man with the withered hand, the centurion's servant, to the sick and afflicted out of every quarter. Jesus restored purity and peace to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast 7 devils. Jesus restored the soul and mind of the demoniac of the Gadarenes. Jesus restored sight to the blind man. Jesus restored strength to the lame man's ankles and feet. Can you say amen? And Jesus can restore your soul and your life today. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, repentance is so positive because repentance allows God to bring great restoration. Hallelujah. Some people think they can't be restored. They think they've went too far. They've done too much. You know how they break the spirit of a great beast called an elephant that could easily just go anywhere he wanted? I mean, how they control them so easily after convincing them that there is no escape. Once an elephant is convinced that he can't get away, it doesn't take much to hold him. And once people are convinced they can't break the pattern of sin and death, that they can't break their pattern of drug abuse or sexual addiction, because sexual addiction is a drug in the way it affects people. There was you might be seeing on your televisions on one of the broadcasts, is it NBC, MSNBC, where they're working with local law enforcement. Now they're in Bradenton, Florida, working, and what they do, they have a 19-year-old girl with a little girl voice, and they have a chat line, and they solicit these men solicit her, and then come to this house. When they come there, knowing her age is 15, as stated on the emails, then people from every walk of life and strata of society are showing up, being booked, having to go to court as sexual predators, being labeled for the rest of their life. So the lives are being ruined by sin, and we're still in pulpits thinking that sin is not a big issue. It's just man's low self-esteem. Sin is still the issue. The thief uses it to steal what God wants to give us, to kill, literally destroy, and to destroy. But Jesus said, you know what I've come to do? I've come to turn that around. I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. I can give you the satisfaction that no kind of perversion Satan is offering for that vacancy in the soul. Amen. I can fill that vacancy with myself and my love. love. I can give you a fulfilling marriage, praise God, where you won't have to go after some salacious sin that's dangled before you. But these men are showing up, and one man was a prosecutor in a local county that showed up to solicit this 15-year-old, he thought, young lady. And anyway, they came to arrest him at his home, and when they came to arrest him, he took his own life because he couldn't face the shame and the pain of being exposed as a sexual predator. Incredible. The internet not only can be used for great good to help the gospel get to people all the way into the nations of the world, like any other media, the devil can use it for great evil. And people who would probably never solicit a young lady in a park bench in their hometown, sitting on a park bench or a playground, will get on the internet because they think they're doing it in private, and well, how wrong that is. How terribly wrong that is. And so you see these people from all walks of life and all strata of society being taken in to captive. And it's addictive. It's very addictive. Pornography is at the fingertips of everybody with a computer. And it's very addictive. And there are people that think they can't break the addiction. There are people addicted to cocaine. There are meth addicts that feel like they can't live without without that particular drug. There are crack cocaine addicts that feel like they can't face one day. They're willing to give up family. They're willing to give up friends. They're willing to risk their freedom. They're willing to put their life on the line, amen, to have one more hit, to do one more a drug high. We used to sing the song about drug addiction when it first began in America, when it first opened up and became prevalent back during the 60s. And we used to sing about in the gutter there with the golden hair, a young girl, lifeless, lies looking for a thrill. Now she lies so still, a final time she got too high. My brother-in-law, amen, got too high looking for that thrill. And the funeral was one of the worst funerals I have ever attended in all of my life, because his bloated body, amen, laying in that casket seemed to represent what drugs had done to his young life. Very, very intelligent young man. A man that was personable, that was in the sales, a sales representative, and was able to talk a blue streak. He could talk, buddy. He was outgoing, and he was likable, and he was personable, but he was in prison. And he was convinced that not even God could break his chains. And so the devil held him very easily. We've got to re-educate people that are out there in bondage, that maybe they hear the gospel, but they think, I can't break these chains. See, the good news is you don't have to break those chains. All you have to do is receive Christ as your Savior. Those chains will fall off of you. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, they bound him with brand new cords. But when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, he didn't flex. See, Samson had power to break them when it came on him. But when the Spirit came on him, they melted as burning flax. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. This was not a feat of strength on Samson's part, even anointed by the Holy Ghost. This was a feat of strength on God's part, because his Spirit came on that man. And the first thing he does when his Spirit comes upon you is break the chains that bind you. Amen. I said the first work of God, amen, who the Son sets free, is free indeed. Hallelujah. Because the chains that hold you can't stop him. Amen. The devil's strategy is a lot like how they capture and retrain a baby elephant that's going to grow into this huge beast that is designed by God to live free in the wilderness. One thing a lion really don't want to mess with, I know I've seen the portraits of lions, you know, trying to take an elephant down, and it takes several of them to do it, but, you know, a lion really don't want to fool with an elephant. It's not worth it. Amen. It's like the skunk and the bear. Amen. The bear can easily defeat the skunk, but it's just not worth it. Can you say amen? Porcupine, same principle. Here's how it works. First, they capture a baby elephant. They place a heavy chain around its ankle, stake the chain to the ground. Day after day, hour after hour, the baby elephant struggles to escape because deep inside he knows he was born for freedom. But his efforts are in vain. He simply cannot break free from the grip of that powerful chain. Eventually, he gives up entirely. Doesn't try anymore. It finally sinks in. I'm bound for life. I will never be able to break this chain. He resolves in his mind there are no possibility that he can ever escape that chain. So he relinquishes forever the struggle to be free. That's why it's so hard to help some people. They've relinquished forever the struggle to be free. When his captors realize they've got him, they remove the chain so they can use it on some other unsuspecting elephant and replace it with a dinky little rope. But since the elephant never stops to examine the truth about his situation, he continues to live his entire life in bondage to something that literally has no power to control him except what he believes in his own mind. Isn't that incredible? The power that he is choosing, that he's given it in his own mind. If that elephant ever opened his eyes to the truth, he could break free instantly. He grows into a full-grown pachyderm. He grows so big that that rope would snap if he gave it a good tug. But in his mind, he said, there's no point in it. No point in it. I preached with a man that was from New York City, the inner city. I preached a revival with him in Merritt Island, one of the few that I ever go out and do. But we preached a revival meeting in Merritt Island for a pastor there. And he preached one night, and I preached that we team preached. He preached tonight. I preached tonight. Amen. And during the course of this teaching, he told about in New York City, so many people were addicted, and so many people grew up in a lifestyle that they thought they could never break. And he used the illustration, the true story. There's an animal park somewhere down near Miami, and sometimes they take in these lions that have lived from their literally infancy in a cage. And they have, this animal park is beautiful. It's friendly to the creatures. It doesn't inhibit them. They have acres to run free in, and the huge fences keep them from getting out of the perimeter, but they can run free in these nations, in this beautiful animal park. And they take tours through it where you sit inside a very enclosed with cages on it, you know, vehicle. And they take you through this park, and you get to see animals in their natural habitat. But they brought an old lion that had grew up in captivity, that had never known anything but captivity. And they brought him, and they're always excited, the staff, when they're going to see an animal that's been caged for his entire life, that's been imprisoned in a cage for his entire life, set free with all of these acres to roam in, to see how he's going to react to that. But the lion in the cage that had been in a little small zoo for years and years and years and knew nothing, the cage was long enough that he could take 10 paces one way, and then he could turn around and take 10 paces back. So his day, when he wasn't sleeping or eating, was taking 10 paces this way and 10 paces back. He never made contact with either end of the cage because he knew, I can't go beyond the 10 paces. He had it in his mind. He didn't have to count his paces. He didn't have to hit it and know it's time to turn back. It was 10 paces would bring him to the edge of his confinement and 10 paces back. Year after year, day after day, month after month, for all of these years, he lived in that kind of confinement. So they brought this big truck with his cage in it, put it down with a crane, opened the door, and let him out. Then they backed away. And this mighty lion, you know what he did? He took 10 paces and turned. He's got acres now to run free. But he's been a prisoner all his life, and in his mind, he doesn't see that he can be free. He still doesn't feel free. He takes 10 paces back. And for 1 hour, he paces. He's free. He's been delivered, but he's still in his mind. See, that's why the transforming of the mind Hallelujah. Is so important. Yes, Lord. Oh. Christ can even set you free spiritually. Oh, yes, Lord. That's why we go to the Word of God for this transformation. As we behold as in a glass His face, we are changed. Be ye no more conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. You may think you may not be able to get beyond the intrinsic, innate weaknesses of your own flesh, but the Bible said to put off the old man and put on the new man. No, put off the old man and be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which is created after righteousness. Can you say amen? Don't tell me God can't set you free from addiction. Don't tell me He can't change your temperament and help you deal with that anger. Don't tell me God can't take a melancholy and turn you into a praising, dancing David type. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. In fact, you will probably dance and praise God more than anybody because you'll appreciate freedom more than anybody else. For a solid hour, he made 10 paces and turned. One of the keepers said, we need to do something to scare him or move him. And the guy that had been there for a while says, no. He said, just move the cage out of the way. Move the truck. And let him make the discovery that he is not in a cage anymore. That he's free to roam this beautiful animal park. And he paced for a solid hour, 10 and 10, nervously pacing. And after about an hour, he stopped because he heard the roar in the faint distance of another creature like himself. Another lion was roaring. And he looked up and suddenly realized those bars are gone. See, the mind is beginning to be transformed. The bars are gone. There's no bars here. My cage is gone. See, once the cage got out of his mind, amen, once he accepted freedom in his mind, he was able to start enjoying what he really had. And he turned and he took a few steps in one direction and nothing stopped him. See, the devil wants you to think that you're going to get stopped, you're going to fail. Amen. What God wants you to know is if you'll keep on, amen, enjoying your freedom in Jesus Christ, nothing can stop you. There's no limits. Praise God. God don't set you free from the devil's cage to put you in a cage of his own. He gives you real freedom. Can you say amen? Not to do your own thing, but to do what your regenerated heart now wants to do, which is God's will. There's freedom in doing God's will. It's not a cage. It's not bondage. I don't live in a box. Can you say amen? I live in the glorious liberty of the sons of God. I live in freedom because Christ has set me free. I live in freedom from drug addiction, and I live in freedom from pornographic addiction, and I live in freedom from things that could destroy my family, my life, my testimony, my soul. I live in freedom from these things that would hurt me and harm me. I live in freedom from that depression. I'm not saying I never become depressed, but I know how to shake it off. Amen. Paul was bit by a snake. Amen. A viper came out of the fire after a shipwreck. Amen. And he shook it off back into the fire. I used to preach, amen, a message on shaking it off. Amen. Amen. There's poison in every one of these negative events enough to discourage us, overwhelm us. But if Paul could shake the literal snake and shake off that poison and enjoy God's miracle of provision, we can do it too. Can you say amen? If you're depressed today, shake it off. You've got a good God who loves you. It'll poison your mind and your soul. If you think you can't be free, I want you to rethink your situation. There is a God of the universe who said, I'll go to work in you if you will let me and trust me. Hallelujah. That God can set you free. After a while, the old lion did what the young lion would do. I got an old dog that has no energy. She's so sweet, though. You know, She could almost be a saint dog. She's just so sweet, and she's so meek, and she's so easygoing, and she is so lazy. She's so old. That's why we rescued that dog, because if they put her in somewhere, no one would take her because she wouldn't, you know, the only thing she can move sometimes is her tail. Amen. She's got these sleepy eyes looking at you most of the time, like, where am I? What's going on? Oh, yeah. And you know, she's just so sweet. Sometimes we lay down in the floor with her, and you know, and we scratch her so she'll push up against it. We just love that old dog. Amen. I don't know. We just ended up with an old dog out of compassion, and we love her to pieces. She's not good for nothing, but we love her. She's good to love on. Sometimes you just need something to love on. Can you say amen? And it'll love you back. Amen. Like the bumper sticker in Plant City. I live in Plant City, Redneck City, whatever you want to call it. We have pickup trucks. I had to get one in city ordinance. Anyway, moving right along. You have to have a pickup truck in the city limit if you're a citizen. And he said, that's right. He teaches high school there, and he said everybody has a big pickup. Amen. But anyway, she's just that. A bumper sticker on the back said, the more people I meet, the more I love my dog. And nothing gets that dog excited, during the day. And so she just lays around. And she's Our Lady of Perpetual Rest. Sweet dog, sweet dog. But there's a time at night that I take her for a walk, or Pamela takes her. And she knows when that time is. She's got an inward clock. And she comes and she starts looking at us. We try to ignore her when we don't want to take her for the walk out around the block and everything. And she looks with those eyes that are so doleful. And then she starts crying like a little puppy. And then she touches our heart and puts a guilt trip on us. Can you say amen? So we have to take her for a walk. But here's where her energy comes. This old dog that's just so old and out of shape and, you know. But when it comes time, she gets headed toward the door. I got the leash and put it on her. And she gives this bound. You know, it's like, let's go. By the time she gets back, her tongue's going to be hanging out. She won't even go to a water dish. She walks right inside that air-conditioned living room and plops down. And then after a while, when she gets a little energy, she'll ease over to the water dish. I mean, she's got the heart, but she just don't have the body. I won't go there with the rest of us. But anyway, moving right along, she gives that bound. And they said this old lion did the same thing. He suddenly did something that only a young, very young lion would do. The old lion realized, I'm free. And he just gave a bound. He never leaps. He just walks. But he leapt and hit the ground. He began to move back and forth. And then he began to run full out. And stopped and looked around. And he could hear the roar of other lions. And they had him in a kind of a quarantine area. It was a huge area, but until they got acclimated, but he began to roar back. And it was the roar, it was a different roar than just the I'm hungry or I'm bored. It was the roar of something ancient in lions. And when they were free on the savannah, and they let forth that roar, I'm free and I'm the king of the beast. Amen. You know something? Sometimes we hear people shout in churches that we would label emotional. That's just the roar of those that have been caged. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That are finally saying, you know something? I used to live in a cage of sexual perversion. I lived in a cage of drug addiction. I lived in a cage where I was kept captive by the devil. But Jesus came and he set me free, and I'm enjoying my freedom. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I get emotional about being free. And I get excited about being free. And I want to see other people set free. And there ain't no chains on me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Ain't no chains on me. Because my Savior came. Have you got, you know that song? That's not the title, but it's, yeah. I think that's it. That's it. Ain't no, for the Savior came. He spoke my name, changed everything. Hallelujah. God is in the chain-breaking business. Can you say, man? He's in the restoration business. See, that lion had a restoration. You know what to restore means? It means to bring back to the original state. Amen. We had an original state. Did you realize that? And your original state isn't how you were as a child or even in your mother's womb. The original state of mankind, amen, was in the garden when God, before sin entered. Amen. Oh, this restoration takes you way back. Can you say amen? We try to get people to get restorations in their life by regressing back into their childhood. Oh, this goes beyond childhood. This goes beyond the womb of your mama. This goes back to Adam and Eve in a garden before the fall. Can you say amen? When God created the earth and said, this is good. amen, and saw that man was lonely and said, this is not good. Can you say amen? And brought him a woman and that became bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, where nothing hurt in God's holy mountain. Can you say amen? Where there was unbroken fellowship with God and man, where God and man walked together in the cool of every day. God came down and man and God had unbroken fellowship. Can you say amen? Well, Jesus comes along and says, God wants it back. God wants you back. God wants to redeem fallen man. God wants to be reconciled. God wants to walk with you again. God wants to satisfy your soul again. God wants fellowship with you again. Can you say amen? So here's the reason I'm going to the cross. I'm going to the cross for a restoration that's more than just forgiving you and getting you into heaven. Amen. The just has suffered for the unjust, that he might what? Bring us to God, that we might have a full restoration of that fellowship that was broken. Did you know why he sent the Holy Spirit to live in you? Because God said, I want to walk with you every day, just like I walk with Adam, so I'm coming to indwell you. Woo! Hallelujah! That's why the Bible says separate yourself so God can express himself. Can you say amen? Separate yourself so God can express himself. Come out from among them, saith the Lord, and be ye separate, and I will receive you and be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters. As it is written, I will walk not with them, I'll walk in them. And I will move in them. Can you say amen? God walked with Adam. God has come to live in us. That's restoration. The last enemy to be destroyed in the way of full restoration is death. And when Christ comes, death dies. Amen? For the dead in Christ rise. We which are living are caught up. In fact, your spirit goes to him when you draw your last breath. Death has already lost the battle to hold you in a prisoner. Amen. The elephant stands for 10, 20, 30 years or more under the control of one who once held him captive all those years ago. Controlled by something that literally has no power to control him, a little puny rope, except the power he chooses to give it. He's convinced I can't be free, so it doesn't take a chain to hold him anymore. That's why the renewing of the mind is so vitally important. Even right now, there are those of us in this room that set limits on what God can do for us and through us because of something seated in our mind. And the transformer of the mind says there's nothing impossible with God, and there's nothing impossible with to him that believeth in this God in whom there's nothing impossible. Can you say amen? Nothing impossible. Hallelujah. When I'm weak, that means I'm disqualified. No, that means I'm a candidate for the supernatural strength that only God can give. So when I'm weak, then am I made strong. God restores. God restores. God restores. God restores. God restores. Hallelujah. Restoration is the conclusion of God's epic story. A rescued people living in the absolute fullness of what God eternally intended for the creation that he loves. All that was lost has been restored. It's better than any fairy tale we've ever heard. It's better than any fantasy that's ever been written. The future is a new era of God, and it begins now. It says, right now, we are a new creation. The old has passed away, and everything has become brand new. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise in this room. Hallelujah. God is in the restoration business. Say it with me again. God is in the restoration business. Whatever your sins are, no sin is greater than God's ability to forgive. Where sin abounds, he said, grace much more abounds. And if we're willing to confront it head on and receive God's forgiveness, that is repentance, he can take us to even greater heights of ministry. In fact, often it's those very areas of failure and sin that God will use in the future in order to produce the most fruitful ministry. Often it's those very areas where we used to be most ashamed that God will turn into the greatest area of blessing to others. This is from a pastor's website. It was about their former senior pastor. Listen to this beautiful story of restoration and how a restored person can help other people to be restored. Said, many of you know that Ron Skates, our former senior pastor, had a child, Anna, 3 years old, who drowned and died while under Ron's care. For a long period of time, Ron's life basically caved in. He was racked with guilt and shame. He should have been watching. He was distracted. He almost left the ministry. Ultimately, he was able, by God's grace, to confront the issues in his life, was able to resolve them, and months after, and find healing. That was before he came to this church, but shortly after he came to this church, about 2 months after he came, one of the elders here lost their daughter to suicide. Because Ron had gone through his own dark time of losing a daughter and feeling responsible for it, he was able to help this family go through their pain in a way he would never have without having gone through it himself. And now that family's been able to minister and be a blessing to many others who have gone through many similar things. So often, it's at the point of our greatest pain, our greatest struggle, our sense of shame or failure or sin, that God is able to use us most powerfully in ministry. No one can preach grace like someone who has fallen completely on the grace of God for help. Jimmy Swaggart preached different after his failure. I'm not saying God wanted that failure in any sense of the word. He did not. But God was able to use the failure to give a man an appreciation of grace. James Robinson admitted his bondage to not pornography so much, but just sexual temptation. He never gave in, but it tormented him. He opened up about it. He said, I would be in a service. I would see a woman sitting on the front row, and while preaching Christ, my mind would go to these fantasies and possibilities, and I couldn't break this chain in my mind. By the way, he had a brother that was a Pentecostal man that believed in the power of God to set people free. I mean, we take a lot of heat and a lot of criticism, but James said it was that brother he opened up to and confessed to, and he said, this can be broken. Isn't it good to know these things can be broken? Hallelujah. Things for years that we've struggled with and think there's no way out, there is a power of God that can break these chains. Hallelujah. And he prayed with him, and they took authority over the enemy, and he was renewed in the spirit of his mind. James is a sweet man with a pure heart and a good record, because he humbled himself and sought deliverance, and there was someone there that knew the power of God to set free. Hallelujah. And prayed that Jesus, in Jesus' name, and knew the Holy Ghost would work if people would look to God with all of their heart. And he did. James said everywhere he went after he made that confession and told of that restoration in his life, he went to pastors' conferences, and they would close the doors, and no one was there but the brethren, and they would ask, is there anyone here addicted to pornography, addicted to some kind of sexual sin? And pastors who were struggling would come forward weeping. Amen. And he said, I could minister to them because I knew what they were facing, and I knew what God could do, and I knew the restorative work of Jesus in heart. They don't have to leave the ministry. They don't have to hurt their wives. They don't have to do something they have to be ashamed of and be laden with guilt. They can be free from this vicious circle. God sets people free. God says, we're talking on radio. We started a new series. We're calling it The Powerful Gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. How that we have a power encounter every time we preach it. Because, amen, Paul was sent to turn them from darkness to light, to literally plunder hell in order to populate heaven. Powerful stuff. Renewing the mind is so important to restoration. Repentance brings regeneration. The renewing of the mind, amen, begins to let God bring restoration. Everybody brings transformation, which begins to let him bring restoration. Isn't that incredible? God is so good. God is so good. When my soul is restored, David said, he restoreth my soul in Psalm 23. In the great repentance psalm, Psalm 51, he says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. When God turned the captivity of Israel, then was our mouth filled with song. We were like the old lion. After all these years, we're free. Can you say amen? When my soul is restored, I can stop striving so hard. I'm at peace, even if storms rage about me. I love this verse, especially in an age of ceaseless noise. Listen to it. The Lord your God is with you. Zephaniah 3:17. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Yeah. Woo! Yeah. Everybody say, makes me to lay down in green pasture. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I tried to get this song to play it. I read the lyrics. Maybe I've heard it and didn't listen closely, but I want to read you the lyrics of a song by Matt Redman that brought tears to anyone's eyes. If you appreciate what the Lord has done. He said, I've heard so many songs, listened to a thousand tongues, but there's one that sounds above them all. The Father's song, the Father's love. You sung it over me, and for eternity, it is written on my heart. Heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony, you're singing over me, the Father's song. Heaven's perfect mystery. The King of love has sent for me. And now you're singing over me the Father's song. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The King of love has sent for me. And now he's singing over me the Father's song. Hallelujah. I'm going to read that again. The Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Didn't I tell you God was good? Amen. I see so many Christians bound, blue, down, defeated, discouraged, depressed, trying to convince other people that Christ is their answer. And I believe God wants the down, blue, defeated, discouraged Christians to get out of their cage. It's not just the world in bondage. Is it Joni? Is that it? No. Yeah. No. Joni Erickson Tada. Wow, what a ministry. What a ministry. Paralyzed from the neck down with a radio ministry of encouragement. Come on, church. I'm talking about a God that can, listen, if he can deliver you from the neck up, it don't matter what's going on from the neck down. Hello? There's a lot of us okay from the neck down, but we're paralyzed from the neck up. He said, if I can renew you by the transforming of your mind, all of your life is going to take on a different hue. Maybe we're going to see how blessed we are. Maybe our eyes are going to pop open and say, I got bills. There's people that don't even have money. I owe money. If you have in your pocket enough money to buy lunch today. Huh? Do you have in your pocket enough left over after the week to go out to a restaurant today? Or to go shopping in the mall and pick up a shirt or a pair of pants or a pair of shoes? You're in the top 8% of people who live on this planet. You're in the top 8. Oh, but my old car. I said you're in the top 8. You're in the top 8. Go down into the other 92% and stay for a year. Come back home and come to church and say, Father, you're good. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, you're good to me. You've been so good to me. All this in eternal life. God restores. God restores. God restores. Someone said the one desire that all of us share is to be loved unconditionally. The greatest deception we all face is that this love can be found in other people. That somehow we're going to find people someday or a person someday that's going to be 100% unconditional in loving us. That's why we spend so much time ingratiating ourselves to others, romancing others. You know, I love people and I want to be accepted, but I got to be very frank this morning. Amen. All of these years of trying hadn't brought me successes. I will never be everything to everyone. And everybody's not going to love me, no matter what I do. And, oh, newsflash, they're not going to love you either, no matter what you do. Can you say amen? So get over it. But God loves you. God loves me. He rejoices over me with singing. Takes delight in me. So even if you don't, I think maybe I'll make it. Maybe you won't take my joy from me, nor interrupt my peace, nor keep me from proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe I'm getting free from people. The Bible said that Paul was going to be delivered of the people. He wasn't going to be under the influence of the Sanhedrin anymore. They were going to kick him out and put him down and threaten his life. But he said, that's okay. Christ has embraced me. Everybody's not going to love you, honey. I went to one of the sweetest brother's funerals I've ever been, I ever met. And he was a president of Full Gospel Businessmen's when he was dying. I wasn't his pastor, but through affiliation of all the ministers he had met during all of his years in Tampa, Brother Robert Taylor, Bob Taylor, he called for me. And what an honor it was to go and pray with him when he was getting ready to go home. To stand there in Tampa General, I always looked up to him as my mentor and elder and everything else. He was such a godly man, and to be able to go in and minister to him was one of the most humbling and privileged experiences of my life. And have him say, Brother Venable, I called you because I know you can touch God for me. Hallelujah. And in pain, in the emergency room, and to have that pain subside and peace fall on that man of God. It was one of the greatest prayers, answered prayers that I could ever rejoice in, because I wanted him to be at ease. And he came at ease and he went peacefully when he did go. He lived a while after that. But at Bob Taylor's funeral, the church was filled with people. Acquaintances and people that knew through Full Gospel Businessmen's ministry here in Tampa and all the things that he was, and just his life that spoke so well of his Christian faith. Amen. I remember standing at our church and singing, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And a cappella, he just loved to sing, amen, these great hymns of the faith. And I remember at his funeral, Brother Arden was his pastor, and Brother Arden stood and said, you know, we have a wonderful audience here today. Amen. He said, but did you know something? Not everyone in this room loved Bob Taylor. And everybody went, he said, but don't feel bad. Not everyone in this room knows that a lot of people don't love you either. He was blowing away this idea that somehow we've got to attract everybody to ourselves. When there's a God who said, I've loved you enough to give my son for you. Maybe we need to quit trying to ingratiate. I don't mean to be rude or crude. I just mean to be who we are in Jesus Christ and be free to be us. You don't have to be a perfect Christian to get me to love you. Isn't that correct, Ditter? See, I love Ditter down through the years. We've had ups and downs. And, amen. She's had struggles. And, hey, I'm not letting the cat out of the bag. Can you say amen? Amen. But I'm watching a transformation. Ditter said to me last week, she said, God's making changes in me. God's making changes in me. God's making changes in me. Amen. I could go down the list. I just like to pick on Ditter. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It's same for me. Same for me. I don't come in and preach what's bothered me during the week. Have you noticed? Amen. You may not know what's bothered me. You may think nothing does bother me anymore. Well, you're wrong about that. I still get bothered. In fact, sometimes I get hot and bothered by incidents and circumstance. Can you say amen? But I don't come here and take that out on you guys, do I? I come in here and exalt Jesus Christ. I tell the truth. I'm a straight shooting preacher, but I come in here and exalt the Lord. I tell you what He can do in your life. I tell you what He wants to do in your life. I tell you that no matter what kind of cage you're in, you can come out of that cage. You can be renewed. You can be transformed by the what? By what's happening right now. Right now it's happening. While the Word of God is being declared under the anointing, you can be renewed in the spirit of your mind so that what? The world can't push you around into its mold anymore. Can you say amen? That you can be transformed into what? Into what God has designed you to be. Hallelujah. The fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You can be transformed from a melancholy to a dancing, shouting Pentecost. Sometimes I think the melancholy people make the best expressors of praise and worship because they appreciate that freedom that they never had their whole life. May not be in your character to be expressive. It's okay. Amen. As long as in your heart you're free. In your heart you're free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to read one more scripture. I read it before. We're actually not through with this. Maybe we'll finish tonight in Luke 15. It's a great story of restoration of the prodigal son. It's all about restoration. Amen. Hallelujah. But we're not going to Luke 15 right now. Here's what Jesus said. Again, Isaiah 61. This is what He quoted when He began His ministry. When He walked into the temple to begin His public ministry for 3 years before they took Him to the cross, this is where He read. He read verses 1 and verse 2. That would be His ministry of liberating captives. Verse 3 and 4 would be the result of His ministry into the lives of those who received it. This is what He read when He declared Himself the Messiah, declared the purpose of His ministry. What Jesus read was from Isaiah 61. He opened the book. He didn't just make a statement. He opened the book and began to read from where I'm reading. Let me just run something by you before we quit this morning. Isn't it a privilege to open the same book that Jesus opened, the Old Testament, and read the same prophetic truth? Isn't it great that God has preserved it to the 21st century? This He said of Himself, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. The result of that ministry is in verse 3 and 4. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them. Here's restoration. After that liberation comes restoration. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise, come on melancholies, for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. For what ultimate purpose? That He might be glorified. Can you say amen? Everybody say, my freedom brings glory to my King. See, I don't want to just be free because I hate being bound. I want to be free so He can be glorified through my deliverance. I got a higher reason than just personal. I want my God to be glorified in my liberty. I want to live in victory so my people will know that my God is the true and living God. And He does rejoice over His people. And He does answer prayer. And what will we do? And they shall build up the old waste and shall raise up the former desolations and they shall repair the waste cities and the desolations of many generations. God said, now I'm going to use you to help see restoration in others and to rebuild the old waste places. Amen? If I can just get you free from the neck up. Joni Erickson, young, beautiful lady, dives in on a wonderful sunny day, hits the bottom, breaks her neck, lies facing the floor, immobilized, is given the prognosis from the doctors that she will never be able to have any feeling, mobility from the neck down for the rest of her life. She could have went into deep depression, give up on life and God, but she gave up on neither. And God brought a man into her life that did not love her out of some mercy reason, but loved her for who she was on the inside and was willing to accept her. You talk about love, honey. Joni found a great guy. Paralyzed from the neck down, and yet this man says, I want you to be my wife. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And they had struggles, you can imagine, because he didn't understand all that was going to come with a quadriplegic. No arm use, no leg use, no body. And he married her. He's a handsome man. Amen. He didn't look like Shrek either. Amen. He's a good-looking guy. Amen. Good-looking guy. And they have a beautiful child. And they have a family. And they have each other. And they have a strong faith in God. And Joni has a message for you that are paralyzed from the neck up. That if you ever get renewed in the spirit of your mind, it don't matter about the rest of it. God can deliver you, keep you, give you peace and joy and fulfillment. Amen? And he will. But you've got to get renewed in the spirit of your mind. How many's got a body that functions? Raise your hand if you've got a hand that can raise. He's got a functioning body. I know it's, you know, my wife said sometimes it's honesty. Snap, crackle, and pop used to be the sound I heard when I poured milk over my cereal. Now it's my bones when I get out of bed in the morning. But God is good. This is a temporal dwelling place. It's going to be restored. This body right now, one day, is going to be restored like unto his glorious body. God's even going to restore this old thing. Hallelujah. You talk about that, what's the name of that show, the something makeover where they do houses? Extreme. I'm going to have one of these days. Job said, though the skin worm eat my body. Amen. Amen. I'm going to have an extreme makeover. Can you say amen? Because one day my Redeemer that I know lives is going to stand upon the earth and I'm going to stand with him. Hallelujah. That's an extreme makeover. Somebody give God praise. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Will you stand to your feet this morning?